Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for the Breakfast Huddle's Sustainable Singapore series that's written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bolin.
Indeed. The Singapore Environment Council is an independently managed non-profit, non-governmental organisation, and it focuses on environmental sustainability.
Yeah, and the SEC addresses environmental conservation and sustainable development through holistic programmes, specially adapted and suited to corporations and the community.
Plus, they are the only recognised member of the Global Eco-Labelling Network in Singapore. So that means if you have seen eco-products under the Singapore Green Labelling Scheme, it would have first gone through rigorous testing by the Singapore Environment Council.
Oh, now you got my attention. I want to find out more about their programs and how they collaborate with companies to adopt better sustainability practices. On the line with us this morning is Isabella Huang Low, Chairman of the Singapore Environment Council. Isabella, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Good morning.
Good to hear from you this bright and early. Let's talk a little bit about SEC's mission and values. Could you tell us what makes us unique when it comes to Singapore's environmental NGO landscape?
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, because this year so happened to be our 25th anniversary in existence. We're one of the longest green NGO based in Singapore. So if I can just jump straight in, because of our 25 years of experience, we've actually morphed quite a bit from being a startup green NGO, finding our way from programs, individual programs, and then finally right now we are driving the green economy in support or in alignment with a lot of stimulus that's happening right now, right through the pandemic. It's still being aligned. So when I'm talking about a green economy, is that you just mentioned on the phone in the whole introduction on certifying green. We're not just talking about just products, but we're actually certifying services, we're certifying F&B, as well as even right down to hotels and infrastructure and offices. And so with the wide range of certifying green, we're now able to look at digitalization. We're able to look at motivating innovation. So our role has actually aligned with what we call the four green trend lines. You mentioned about collaboration with public-private sector, innovation, digitalization, and certifying everything that is green, so that consumers and companies can align to having Singapore ride the green economy. I hope this is interesting for all of you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Isabella, and we'll dig down and talk about some of that, and you know, we'll talk about food and all these sorts of things just ahead. But before we do that, one of the things we know about SEC here is that you formulate and then you execute a range of holistic programs for corporations. But when you use that word holistic, what are you really talking about?
Well, when we look at programs, I mean, we're not the type that would look at just a single campaign. It is really part of a suite of campaigns. So when we say holistic, the last 2 years, what we've done is we've embraced a long-term study that we did. So as you remember, two years ago, we did one on plastic waste. And then following that last year, we did food waste. And then this year, we actually embarked on a very big ask, which is packaging waste. And all of this is a result of just not a one-hit wonder, one conference thing, is to roll out a whole suite of programs to engage businesses and consumers, and also the public sector, including the stat boards and all are involved in terms of bringing that whole journey, whether it's reducing the food waste or reducing plastic waste, or it's to do with basically finding the gaps that are missing in the services. So I think basically we're getting there. It's not totally 100% foolproof, because we're into two and a half years of this program, but it's really gaining momentum and it's really good to see things are happening. And of course, it translates to green jobs for people. People have to be brave enough to say, I want to change the industry, I want to change my business, to turn that corner and green everything, or even put a product that is green or a service in the market.
It's interesting, right, Isabella, because, you know, and I just want to relate this to like your hawker centres where, you know, you get stores, they really fight to get the A rating or the B rating when it comes to cleanliness, right? What are you seeing from SEC where the value of this green label is concerned? Do you see people, do you see companies putting the value of this green label higher in the priority list? And if you could run through a little bit on how rigorous the kind of testing you have on products and services to examine the environmental credentials, so to speak.
Actually, I'm very heartened by the fact that this pandemic actually brought on even more awareness at the hawker centres. I mean, in the past, it was so difficult to get the traction going right down on the ground to talk about, can you please have less plastics or maybe take on things that are more eco-friendly, because it's a cost. You know, long and the short is, they look at it as hugely a cost. And it's the same with the consumers. Is they get lazy. So when they go to the hawker centres, they don't bring any containers or anything with them. But as I'm observing, as I'm looking at it, they're really turning the corner. People are really taking on this. But of course, I must tell you something funny recently, because a week ago, I went to the hawker centre to get my favourite mee noodles, curry mee noodles, and this 25-year-old helper was there. And she did not know how to take the tiffin carrier, you know, the old-fashioned tiffin carrier.
Oh, I love those.
Those are 25 years old type. And she literally turned around to me, I really don't know how to use this. I don't know how to open it. I had to demonstrate to her how it was used.
Careful, Isabella. Don't give away your age, yeah?
So I must say there is a big gap, which is quite interesting. I'm from that generation that was quite used to bringing takeaways back with carriers and with reusables. But the new generation, you know, it's a while before we can close that gap. So, again, it's not a short journey to land there. But this is just an anecdote of the fact that it can be done. It's just how to continue to make sure that consumers say, I want it to happen. It's really consumer-driven. Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually got a real bee in my bonnet about this, Isabella, and I was talking to the guys about this morning, talking about how my children had demanded a certain store not give them plastic bags, because at school they learned so much about this, and then the store retorted and said, well, actually, these are biodegradable bags, so it's all good. But my point is, how do you actually test products and services to examine their environmental credentials? I mean, that's got to be a really... You got to dig deep on a process like that.
Yeah, we've been at it for more than 15 years now, and this process of green labelling goes with a lot of credentials. I mean, the ISO 14000 process, which is really the pillar for examining the products or services, is key. But more importantly, you just mentioned the Global Eco Labelling Network that we're part of, a member of which the product is allowed to be sold if you produce it in Singapore to 42 countries. And we're United Nations Environmental Unit recognized as well for our processes. So the credentials equals, you know, as much as possible, we are saying that we're eliminating anything to do with greenwashing, because there's so many people out there with no labels that claim to be green. So coming to us really endorses that process. And again, it's not just like at the final product end. We literally check the manufacturing end to ensure that to get that product to market didn't mean them extricating more utilities or energy just to produce the product. That defeats the purpose of having a green product, right? So we look at the processes as much as the final product and its usability and it being green. So this is a very good question that you just posed to me. It is important to actually explain that. Yeah.
We're speaking with Isabella Huang Lo, who is Chairman Singapore Environment Council. Isabella, talking about SEC and how last month they announced that any SME holding the Singapore Green Labelling Scheme and Eco Certifications can now apply for financing with HSBC SME Green Loan. Could you share with us how this loan can help fill the gap in terms of green financing for SMEs?
Yes, in fact, we cannot answer for how HSBC actually assesses the company.
Sure.
But the advantage is on our side. In other words, any products, by the way, services related, you know, you could be an SMB or even a hotel, etc. If you wish to apply for a green loan with HSBC. I think they have a cap of 350,000 a line. They are able to assess quite quickly for their green loans, which is much better perks, of course, than a normal loan. And this is very good because a lot of the times we had realized the last 15 years, looking at a lot of companies that try to go green, it's the cash flow upfront that they struggle with because they need to basically introduce the product into the market for a runway of about a year before people really get it. So these are some of the attributes that HSBC Bank have actually come forward, very pioneering of them, to say we want in and we want to be able to help. And on their end, they feel very comforted that we are able to assess the product independently. So we're able to tick the box and say competency-wise, they have ticked all the 14,000, they have looked at utilities, we looked at their plant, we looked at the so-called performance of the product or services, and I said they really are a green company. So that way, we provide like an underwriting ability to HSBC with the process that we have in terms of green labeling.
Yeah, well, it's effectively about creating the infrastructure for companies, products, corporations to go green, isn't it? Okay, let's move on to one of our favorite subjects. It's food. And I love where food and sustainability end up in the same sentence. But horrible numbers, 342,000 tons of food is lost from farm to market within Singapore. I know that you unveiled a study addressing food loss and wastage. Tell us a little bit about it. And also, in light of the coronavirus crisis, has this idea of circular food economy been highlighted?
I think it's definitely been more than highlighted. I actually had a very good farmer's friend, and in fact, I have got one that represents farming on my board, actually, and so I get to understand what's going on the ground. But more importantly, let's talk about the 340,000 tons up front. That part, I would say, is outdated. I believe the numbers are even more.
Ouch.
And that's because of a disruptive and broken supply chain that created this. Yes, it's just horrendous.
Yeah.
And when I say broken supply chain, you don't have to go very far. You can visibly see it along the causeway, the long trucks that are coming in and, you know, the issues that they're having. They don't have enough truck drivers to truck a lot of the goods over to Singapore. Really, it's not really Singapore's fault, but it's just the whole broken supply chain issues that are happening, and hopefully when Malaysia opens up, maybe that would ease off. But what is interesting in terms of the broken supply chain is, don't forget, our restaurants are closed in Singapore too. Yeah. So with that comes, where are we going to stuff all this food? And that's why a lot of the food had ended up, interestingly, at the supermarkets as the only outlet, or at the wet markets. So, but it's also good on the flip side that homes are now starting to cook at home a lot more than they are going out to eat. But interestingly, also, cooking at home creates awareness amongst our people. And I've been talking to some of the people. Now they're a lot more careful because it's about cost again. And again, it's about budgeting to ensure that they don't overstock, overbuy in their fridge. And we discussed this in the last food study. And so this has really, I wouldn't say accelerated it, but it's opened up a huge awareness amongst all. And our local farmers are producing as much as they could in terms of the constraints that they have in terms of size and shape of their manufacturing capacity to cater for the shortfall in Singapore. But I think we're in very good space from what I gather in terms of food supply.
Right.
I did complain a bit that I didn't have any spring onion the other day, but then that's okay. Live without it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do see people overstocking at supermarkets, or at least you question if they're really overstocking. But Isabella, could you help take us from the current situation into the future and how we can do better where sustainability is concerned? I know one of the things that SEC has come up with is this EcoLife SG app. So basically, it helps individuals track their personal carbon emissions as they go about their daily life. So how is this going to help us moving forward post-COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, we are in development right now to improve the EcoLife SG app because we feel that it didn't have all the right features in place. But just to give you an idea of how it was functioning before, or rather is, it was actually to capture your own carbon footprint from A to B, so that you don't run from West Coast to East Coast to get spring onions, you know, I have to say. That would compound to your carbon footprint. But the long and the short is really something that measures your own interests and what are you doing, a little bit like a health check. Yeah, right. On your app. But this EcoLife SG will change because we're getting more partners coming on board to measure not just your lifestyle in terms of movement, but lifestyle in terms of using an office or working from home. Oh. And it will give you the full holistic view of how you are doing things, including cooking your own food to eating out. So that you have to wait. It's really an akandatang stage, and I'm so sorry that I can't tell you more information on this one.
Okay.
But it's an important holistic approach if you believe in it. All right, that you want to take it all in your own hands. I mean, rather than rely on someone to tell you, you need to put your temperature of your office to 25 to really reduce. So this is something that you own it. So it's again, we're going to relaunch that pretty soon. And on top of that, we actually are launching in a big way a thing called a Green DNA. Mm-hmm. So this is like asking companies to take it on holistically so that their employees also take the DNA bit as sustainable. So it doesn't stop at just certifying an office being green, because it's pointless if your people don't feel it or don't believe in it every day as a lifestyle, right? So that's going to change substantially.
That's very well put. We're going to run an internal competition among our team as well. See, with this app later on, see who's the worst. Isabella Hong Lo, Chairman of the Singapore Environment Council, on the line with us for Sustainability Singapore. Isabella, thank you so much for taking the time today. You take care and stay safe.
Thanks again for having me. Take care now, all of you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.